You're hearing sounds from the battle in Mosul in northern Iraq. Let's stay with the fight against the Islamic State now. Government and Iraqi coalition forces continue to battle ISIS outside of Mosul. That fight has now moved to one of the most densely populated parts of the city. According to Iraq's immigration ministry, more than 350,000 Iraqis have been displaced from the city center since that campaign began. Residents, in a lot of cases, are making a stark decision to stay and risk food shortages and shelling, or try to leave after ISIS has threatened to kill anyone who tries to exit the city. Tens of thousands have turned to refugee camps, meanwhile, springing up all over the area, and aid workers are scrambling to keep up with the influx. Caroline Gluck is senior information officer for the United Nations Refugee Agency in Iraq. She's been visiting those camps. Caroline, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we understand that refugees have been pouring into these camps. What does the scene now look like, and how are the people doing there?
It varies between camp to camp, but yesterday I was in Hammam al-Alil, and this is the area where most of the displaced families are having to go through as a transit site. So they will have fled their areas, been taken by the Iraqi security forces via different routes to Hammam al-Alil, where they are security screened. And because that camp, which is currently a government camp, is full, families are then taken by buses to other sites that have capacity. When I visited, the conditions were very grim. It had been raining quite heavily. The whole camp was very, very muddy. Families were caked in mud. Many families had lost their shoes in the flight to safety, especially young children, and were walking barefoot through the mud in very difficult conditions. While the men were being security screened, the families, the women and the children were having to wait outside in an open area. It was cold, it was wet, and it was pretty grim.
So with more than 350,000 people displaced, is this combination of Iraqi government camps and UN camps able to handle the capacity right now?
At the moment, yes, there is spare capacity. For example, UNHCR has 10 camps that are currently open, and we have capacity for about 24,000 individuals. We have two other camps that will be open within days, and again, they will have capacity for another 9,000 to 10,000, with another 20,000 capacity coming on stream in the current weeks. The scale of displacement has really quickened in the last month because the western sector of Mosul is the most populous, it's the most densely populated. And now the Iraqi security forces have entered the old city, which is where the greatest numbers of people are. And we are very concerned about the numbers who are still there. We estimate around 600,000 civilians could still be in those western sections, and maybe around half of that figure could still be displaced in the coming days and weeks.
Yes, you raise a very important point, which is as grim as some of the situations are for hundreds of thousands fleeing Mosul, there are hundreds of thousands still left there. And we're talking about urban warfare where ISIS fighters have really metastasized into the city over the last several many years. And now the fight is on to root them out.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult for families. I mean, I've been listening to some of the stories of people who have left. We're hearing that all the street markets have closed and that very few shops are open. The shops that are open have very little for sale. And the goods that are for sale are astronomical in price, beyond the reach of many people. So families are really surviving on very little. They told us they were eating water and flour, maybe supplemented with some tomato paste. And many families were just eating one meal a day. They were getting increasingly desperate. There's also a big problem with lack of fuel. Families have been burning furniture, pieces of rags, plastic to stay warm. And the fuel has also meant that there's very little electricity through the generators. So life in general has got exceedingly grim. And the hunger issue is one of the main factors that has been prompting families to leave, as has, of course, the worsening security situation.
And Caroline Gluck, as you talk to people, do you have a sense from them, as bad as these stories are, that this could be the beginning of the end for ISIS in their neighborhoods? That the hunger is grim, the burning of furniture is very difficult to listen to, and I wonder if the people going through this have some sense that this may be a final chapter for them, and maybe they can finally live at home in Mosul in some peace and quiet.
Absolutely. I mean, that is definitely the hope of all the families that I've been speaking to. There are some who don't want to go back, but the majority, I would say, are very keen to return home, but only when there is peace, when they know that they can go back safely. They want to rebuild their lives. They want to go back home to secure their property. They want their children to go back to school.
There have also been threats from ISIS itself within Mosul, threats on the lives of civilians who leave. I imagine that's complicating the picture a lot for people trying to decide between taking the risk of leaving Mosul and seeking safety in a camp or somewhere outside the city.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I heard lots of stories from families. When they were leaving, they saw people killed by sniper fire. They risked being blown up by IEDs or landmines. One lady yesterday told me she came from a place called Al-Tanak neighborhood that a large group of people, 30 people, had been hiding in a school intending to flee the city. They were informed upon by somebody in the community and that they were all killed, that the bodies had been laid out as a warning to others who might be considering fleeing. And I asked her, well, you've decided to flee. Despite that, why did you make that choice? Her answer was, the risk of death is present. Whether you stay, you risk death through the fighting, through the mortars and the shelling. If you flee, you risk death through the escape and the chances of being caught. You know, it's a choice between two very difficult things. What do you choose? In the end, I chose to flee because there was also a prospect of starving to death as food was running out. So it was a very difficult decision for everybody involved.
Caroline Gluck is Senior Public Information Officer for the UN Refugee Agency in Iraq. Thank you for updating us.
Thank you so much.